I'd just like to read a passage from John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So last week, we started on this mini series of things that Jesus never said. And last week we had a look at that statement that you often hear, you know, follow your heart. Well, today this is what we're looking at, the statement, believe in yourself, something that you are anticipating me saying Jesus never said, and I will say that. But I want you to look at this little video clip first of all. Okay, what's the big deal, do I hear you saying? Well, I went for a swim. This wasn't just an ordinary swim. It was a swim in Antarctic waters. The polar plunge. The water temperature was 0.5 degrees Celsius. The air temperature was 1 degree Celsius. From the time that I first saw that on the itinerary of our Antarctic trip earlier in the year, in my mind I said, I want to do that. Every other part of my body said, you can't be serious thinking that you're going to put us through that. Right? We don't even go in the water up on the Gold Coast, let alone in Sydney, let alone in Antarctica. Right? Once the water gets above knee level, we say, let's get out of here, this is too cold. My polar plunge wasn't till 7 p.m. On the day that we did it. And Lorraine can probably tell you that for a fair part of that day, I was kind of pretty focused. And the reason was because I spent the entire day with this self-talk. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Other parts of the body saying, no, you can't, no, you can't. You can do this, right up until the time I stripped off and waded in the water. You can do this. Believe in yourself and you can reach your goals. Believe in yourself, the mantra of many people in this world. This is Keely Hodgkinson, a British athlete. winner of the gold medal in the 800 metre track race at the Olympic Games. And she said this about winning her gold medal: "I always believed in myself." This is, his name's Artem. I think the surname is Doglopiat or something like that. He's an Israeli wrestler. And he won the gold medal in wrestling in the Olympic Games. And when he got home, he made a public statement to the effect that he wanted to inspire the next generation of Israeli athletes. And this is what he said: "I'm showing that it is possible and that they need to work hard and to believe in themselves." Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You can have everything you want if you're willing to give up the belief that you can't have it. The moment you doubt whether you can fly, you will cease forever to be able to do it. J.M. Barrie, of course, was the writer of Peter Pan. If you've got love and you believe in yourself, anything's possible. Believe in yourself and you'll be unstoppable. Believing in yourself is the secret to success. Believe in yourself, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. Well, I get it. That believing in your ability and in your preparation is important when it comes to something like success in sport or perhaps success in business. But I doubt that even the most ardent self-believer would say that it's as simple as those sayings and these memes kind of make out. 460 Australian athletes went to Paris to participate in the Olympic Games, or wherever their particular part of the Olympic Games may have been contested. 460 Australian athletes. As of this morning, Australian athletes had won 18 gold medals, 18 silver medals and 14 bronze, a total of 50 medals. Now, the math's a little complex here because some of those instances are athletes having won multiple medals. So Jess Fox, for example, won 2 gold medals, and Ariana Titmus, right, multiple medals in swimming. And some of the medals are awarded to a team or a relay team. So it only counts as one medal on the table, but maybe, you know, 6 or even 10 people actually got a medal hanging around their neck as a result of it. So the math's complex, but let's say for the sake of this hypothetical, 90 Australian athletes are coming back to Sydney with a medal hanging around their neck. Does that mean that 370 athletes did not believe in themselves because they are coming home with nothing but the memories of Paris? Well, I don't think you can say that. They all believed in themselves. It's just that some of them ran into somebody who was faster or stronger or more capable than they were. So yes, believing in yourself is important, but it's not the be-all and end-all of success, even in sport or in business. And when it comes to the Christian life, followers of Jesus are not simply interested in this very narrow pathway towards success, say in sport or in business or something else. The Christian life is much, much bigger and broader than that. So you see, we are talking about things that have to do with the quality and character of our lives. We're talking about things that have to do with the quality of our relationships with other people, about the depth of our relationship with God. We are talking about things of an eternal and spiritual nature, not simply those of a temporal and material nature. And in that context, Jesus never said, "Believe in yourself." What Jesus said was, "Believe in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's one occasion in which somebody asked Jesus what he needed to do in order to do the works of God. And this was Jesus' reply. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. Now, the one he sent, of course, was Jesus. If we really want to do what God wants us to do, we are called to believe in Jesus. Right, at the very top of God's to-do list for us, believing in Jesus. Now, I just got to pause there for a sec because I need to say something about believing in Jesus, right? When we're talking about believing in Jesus, we are not just talking about believing the truth of some facts about Jesus. Yeah, okay, there are certain things about Jesus, certain facts that it's important to believe, right? It's essential to believe. But that's not the be all and end all of what it means to believe in Jesus. You see, like James said to his readers, you believe that there's one God, you're doing well. But even the demons believe that, and they tremble. Right, so we are not just being asked to subscribe to a theological belief or to a creed. We are not simply being asked to tick like on Jesus' Facebook page. Something's deeper and bigger than that. Trusting or believing in Jesus is about trusting him. That's a better word probably than to simply repeat believing in Jesus all the time. It's trusting in Jesus. It is relying on Jesus. It is having confidence in Jesus. That is the essential meaning of both the Hebrew and the Greek words that are translated as believe in the Bible. So believing in Jesus is having confidence that Jesus will deliver on what he has promised, and it is relying on Jesus to deliver what he has promised. So let's just break that down a little bit. Trusting in Jesus is the way to a relationship with God. This is in John chapter 1. He came, that's Jesus came to that which he was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I was born into a Christian home. In fact, I have a card at home that is dated the day of my birth, given to my parents by the cradle roll superintendent of the Strathfield Homebush Baptist Church, the church they were attending. So from the time I was taken home to hospital, I was taken to church. And I suppose as part of my growing up, there was a phase I went through when I thought that just being the child of Christian parents was enough to make me a Christian. But like John is saying, that's not true. That just being the child of a child of God does not make me a child of God. In fact, the South American evangelist, I can't think of his name now, but anyway, some years ago, there's a South American evangelist who used to use the expression, God has no grandchildren. We need to become a first generation believer in order to be a child of God. Actually, when I look back through my ancestry, and I'm really passionate about sort of pursuing my ancestral roots, for generations and generations in a number of branches of my family, there is a Christian belief. So I kind of got this big wave of Christian belief rolling down through history, but I can't grab a surfboard and surf that wave into the kingdom of God. I'm the one that has to become a child of God by making that decision to receive Jesus or to believe in his name, to believe in him. There are other people around the world, probably mostly in religions other than the Christian religion, who believe that the way into the presence of God is through meditation. Yeah, to actually experience union with God or some sort of mystic communion with God. The pathway to that is through meditation. And yet Jesus said this, I am the way. Not meditation, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is not inviting us to trust in our meditative techniques or to trust in our heritage, spiritual heritage. He's inviting us to trust in him. Because to trust in Jesus is to trust in God. To know Jesus is to know God. To be in a relationship with Jesus is to be in a relationship with God. That's the pathway. When it comes to our relationship with God, Jesus doesn't say, trust in yourself, believe in yourself. He says, believe in me. Secondly, trusting in Jesus is the pathway to eternal life. There's a man who died and went to heaven. And he walked up to the pearly gates. He was met by St. Peter. And St. Peter said to him, you know, there are some strict criteria that's involved in getting in here. And the guy says, okay, what's that? Well, St. Peter pulls out his clipboard and he says, so have you been a religious person during your lifetime? You know, have you gone to church, you know, prayed, read your Bible? And the guy says, well, no. Cross goes on the page and St. Peter says, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Well, how about this? Have you been a generous person? Have you given to the poor? Have you given to charities? And again, the guy says, well, no. Another cross on the page. Things are getting not looking good for you here. Okay, have you done anything good for anybody? Anything nice for anybody? And the fellow said, well, I don't really remember. Come on, says Peter. You know, I'm trying to help you here. There must be something nice that you've done. And the guy says, look, yeah, I've got something. He says, I was coming out of a shop and I noticed this elderly woman being harassed by bikies. And they'd knocked her to the ground, they'd taken a purse off her and they were abusing her and laughing at her. And I got really upset and I threw my shopping bags down, pushed my way through the crowd. I helped the lady to her feet. I got the purse back from one of the bikers and gave it to her. And I went up to the biggest and baddest bikie of all and told him how mean and nasty he was harassing a little old lady like that. And Sir Peter says, that's great, that's great. When did this happen? And the guy says, about 5 minutes ago. Okay, look, there are a lot of jokes about getting into heaven that are going around, particularly on Facebook. I see them all the time. But here's the thing, all of those jokes are trying to elicit humour on the basis that there is something that we need to do or something that we need to know in order to get into heaven. But that's not the way that God works. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Nothing to do, God has done it. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Life comes through believing in Jesus. You know, when I get my bank statement, actually, these days they don't send you a bank statement, do they? It's all done electronically. We are doing away with paper. You've got to access it online. But when I see my bank statement, I see a series of credit entries and a series of debit entries. And as long as the total of the credit entries is bigger than the total of the debit entries, my bank balance stays in the credit and I'm happy. All very well for a financial institution, but not the way God works. Some people think it is, that as long as the good things they have done outnumber the bad things they've done, they're okay. The Bible actually tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. None of the good things that we can do can make up for that. They can't negate that. In fact, the Bible says that even our righteous deeds are just like dirty rags in God's sight. Even the very best things that we can do, they actually compound the problem. So what happened, of course, was that God placed our sin on Jesus, and Jesus died in our place on the cross. Then he came back to life, so that through him and through faith in him, we could have forgiveness, we could have life. So all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. I was actually looking through some Facebook video clips the other day, and I came across one where a man was talking about the substitutionary death of Jesus, vicarious suffering of Jesus. Now, I didn't watch it long enough to know exactly what was going on, right? Whether he was expressing his own views or whether he was just quoting from someone else. And I didn't really know where he was going with it. But what he was saying was that the theology that required the substitutionary death of Jesus was a horrible theology. It was abhorrent to think that somehow someone else needed to suffer and die for us. But if you do away with that, what are we left with? We are left with believing in ourselves and in the things that we can do. And yet the scriptures are very clear that that's not going to help us very much at all when it comes to our relationship with God and when it comes to eternal life. So it's really either Jesus' way or no way. My younger sister passed away just a couple of weeks ago, and we had her funeral this last Monday. And at the memorial service, I and my remaining siblings actually sang a song that was sung at Judy's baptism. And it was a song called Had It Not Been. Had it not been for a place called Calvary? Had it not been for the old rugged cross? Had it not been for a man named Jesus? Then forever my soul would be lost. Thankfully, Jesus came and he gave himself so that we could have that life. My Father's will, and these are Jesus' words, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So trusting in Jesus, the pathway to a relationship with God, the pathway to eternal life, also the pathway to a fruitful and productive life. So it might have been late last week. Lorraine was watching a DVD that was part of a series of DVDs on the life of Elvis Presley. The particular one that I noticed was at least purported to have what must have been his final concert on the DVD. And not the whole concert, but just clips from it. And apparently one of the last songs that he sang at that concert was was Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. I did it my way, right? My goals, my planning, my talents, my expertise. That was what brought me success. Believing in yourself. Maybe that's okay when it comes to some goals in this life. But we're not simply talking about goals in this life. God wants us to be successful in life. And maybe we need to ask the question, what does that look like? What does it look like to be successful when it comes to life, to living? Well, I think God actually gives us the answer to that question. Being successful in life for a follower of Jesus is to be like Jesus. Paul says that those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Right? That's God's eternal plan for us, to be like Jesus. So if we want to measure success in life, that's the standard, to become like Jesus. So as that happened, by our own efforts, by our own strategies, by our own planning, by our own talents. Well, my question would be, if we couldn't do that before we became Christians, which of course is why we needed Jesus in the first place, if we couldn't do that before we became Christians, what makes us think that we can do it now? Without help, that is. So we actually do need help. Being like Jesus is basically something like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You might recognize that. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. We need help. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then this, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Trusting in Jesus unleashes the power of the Holy Spirit in us, through which we are transformed into the image of Christ. Now, perhaps that's just one part of what following Jesus means. There's also that part where we are invited to pursue the kind of work or calling or ministry that God has for us. So is that the sort of thing where our own sort of strengths, our own gifts, our own efforts come into play? Well, again, we have to say no. Jesus said this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Right? Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Now, I am not going to get into this morning what these greater things might be that we can do that Jesus apparently didn't do. What I'm simply saying is that if we want to partner with Jesus in the work that he is doing in this world, if we want to serve in continuity with the work of Jesus, then it comes not through trusting in ourselves and in our own efforts and in our own strength. It comes through trusting in Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can be unleashed in us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We could have done this last week when we were talking about following your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Trusting in the Lord is the way through which our paths are directed. There's a consistent theme through Scripture about trusting in the Lord to do this work in us and through us. And it's summed up in this verse. not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Believing in ourselves may be helpful when it comes to pursuing certain goals in this life. But it is through believing in Jesus that as his followers, we experience the fullness of life that he came to give us. Eternal life. A relationship with God. A fruitful and productive life. And so my invitation to all of us this morning is to abandon our pride, our self-confidence, our self-reliance, our self-righteousness, and to trust in Jesus. That's not just for those who have never done that before, by the way. But if that is the case for you, then perhaps that's something you'd like to have a conversation with me about, what it means to come to trust in Jesus. But it doesn't matter how briefly or how lengthily we have been on this journey with Jesus, of following Jesus. The challenge for all of us is to stop trusting in ourselves and to learn to trust in Jesus. Because it's by trusting in Jesus that allows Jesus the freedom to do his work in us and through us. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us, for all that you continue to do for us and in us and through us. Lord, we ask for the humility to let go of ourselves, to hold tightly to Jesus, so that you may be glorified in and through our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.